Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday for June 2nd, 2013. This is Morris Secchio Sullivan. I'm speaking to you from DeLand, Florida. Be your host today, and I'm very glad that you've joined us. The last couple of weeks, my wife, Michelle Joyo, and I have been going over to Daytona Beach on Saturday mornings. We're leading a six-week workshop where I'm teaching certain kinds of meditation and other Dharma practices. And yesterday, as we were getting everything set up and ready to start the second of these sessions, one of the participants started talking about how surprised they were to learn that Buddhist practices are very down-to-earth in real life. And we were talking about that and about how our practice is really just a way to develop our spiritual strengths. And these are not some kind of special exotic powers, but they're strengths that we can develop to support our spiritual progress. We talk sometimes about the five hindrances: desire, anger, restlessness, listlessness, and doubt. And those are often presented as hindrances to meditation, but in a broader sense, they're also hindrances to our spiritual life. We might set our minds on not using harmful speech, for example, and then the hindrance of anger arises and derails that intention. Or we might vow to be more generous, but we let desire take over and fuel our greed instead. Or we might just get listless and let our practice lapse, or rationalize a lack of commitment with doubt. And we can vow to practice mindfulness, but let restlessness run away with our thoughts over and over. But fortunately, we also have five spiritual faculties that with some training can become very powerful so that we can overcome these hindrances. One of the people at the meeting equated this to weight training. He mentioned that every time you pull your mind back from whatever has distracted you, it's like doing another rep. With each rep, you get stronger. But instead of building physical power and endurance, flexibility, and things like that, you're building these five spiritual powers: faith, wisdom, concentration, energy, and mindfulness. And these kinds of strengths carry us through our spiritual lives. We sometimes don't think of things like faith as a strength that can be developed. Usually you think of faith in terms of something that you believe in. But in Buddhism, faith motivates us to practice. And as we realize the fruit of our practice, our faith grows stronger. It's the same with wisdom. At first, wisdom comes from the head. We learn about concepts like impermanence and interdependency. But then as we put those things into practice, our intellectual understanding and our faith begin to support one another, and our wisdom begins to come from the heart. We develop concentration, setting our minds firmly on our path. But we don't just bliss out and become complacent. We remain energetic. Like Reverend Gyomei Kobose put it in Everyday Suchness, we make sure our switch is on. We make sure that our life has purpose and meaning, and that puts juice into our practice. And we use mindfulness, remembering to remember, to keep everything in balance and running smoothly, no matter what curves and bumps life throws in our path. Well, we have a guest here today to give us a Dharma glimpse, Sensei Roger Seo, who is with us from Jacksonville, Florida. That's not too far from me, just up the coast a little bit. He completed the LM5 program, was inducted as a Bright Dawn Sensei last month. So please join with me in welcoming him, Sensei.
My talk today is on interdependence. Dorothy and I live in Jacksonville, Florida, and most of our family, much of it, lives 350 miles north in Atlanta, Georgia. Last weekend, Dorothy and I were helping her father make the move from his house to a continuing care retirement community. Her father, John, had let me store some things at his house, and so I had to clear them out. I had to load the car with boxes of things that I had been storing for years at his house. And Dorothy's sister, who lives on the other side of Atlanta, was visiting when I picked up the boxes, and she stayed behind until I got to her father's house to make sure I didn't need any help. And then the next day, Dorothy and I went again to her dad's house to help with the move to a senior residential community. We met her brother and his daughter, who flew in from Wisconsin, and together we unloaded boxes and furniture from the attic. We sorted through boxes, took plants and furniture to her father's new home. And after lunch, Dorothy and I left to drive back to Jacksonville. along the way, at some point, we must have run over some roadway debris. We heard a bump under the car. 3 hours later, our right rear tire blew out. There was a complete tear in the sidewall, and we pulled over and found our highway assistance card. Dorothy called the number, and I think we got connected someplace in India. But after a few minutes, they got our location, which was really 40 miles from anywhere along the interstate, called a local wrecker service and authorized service for us. And an hour later, the wrecker appeared, and in 10 minutes, our car was jacked up, the tire was replaced, and we were back on our way home. So when I think about this, I think about how many people we really depended on to help us over the weekend. There were at least 10 people, friends and relatives, who helped with the move for Dorothy's dad. For the flat tire on the interstate, we had the help of at least 4 people while we were stranded along a busy interstate with cars streaming by at 70 to 80 miles an hour. Some people traveled many miles to reach us, and some provided help even from what I suspect may have been other countries. And for all of this, we needed trust that people we didn't know were people that we could depend on for their good faith and their help. So this taught me, supports the idea that trust and interdependence make the world work just as much today as they did when Gautama Buddha was teaching. We are, after all interdependent upon each other. Gassho.
Well, thank you for that wonderful Dharma glimpse, Roger Seo Sensei. Something like that is a great reminder that our experience of life, and whether it's good or bad, actually has very little to do with what happens. It has a great deal to do with where we put our attention. When I mention that idea during meetings, sometimes people will look at me like I'm a little crazy. We generally think that we've had a good day or a bad day based on things that happened to us. If we got a check in the mail, that was a good day. If we had a flat tire on the interstate, well, the typical person will say, oh, my day was terrible. I had to deal with a flat tire on the interstate. But as Roger Seo Sensei pointed out, this flat tire was just one event on a day when really a lot of good things happened. We were talking about this not too long ago at one of our meetings here in DeLand. I had hobbled into the meeting with a limp. That limp is a remnant from an auto accident I had about a dozen years ago. And once in a while, one of these old injuries will flare up and I'll end up in some pain and walking with some difficulty. And so people were asking me about that. And I told them about the wreck. This woman had pulled out right in front of me while I was going fairly fast down the highway. And I almost died. And the result of it was I ended up with various physical problems as a result of my injuries and pain at various times. But then I surprised everyone by saying, yeah, that was a really good day. People look at you like you're nuts when you say being in a car crash was a good day. But, you know, some total strangers had called in for emergency services for me while I was still in my car and couldn't get out. And a group of people responded. Some first responders came in, and they cut me out of my car. And another one helped me into an ambulance, you know, got me on a stretcher and loaded me in. A lot of drivers, this was rush hour, and all these drivers got out of the way so the ambulance could get me to the hospital that was miles away. And then once there, a bunch of doctors and nurses came out, rushed out, and worked tirelessly and saved my life. So, yeah, sometimes I walk with a limp, and I could focus on that, and I could be miserable about it. But why do that when you can remember that a bunch of people that you didn't know would probably never see again all kind of came together and worked to keep you alive? We all experience disruptions in the flow of what we expect, our expectations. We expect to spend 20 minutes commuting home from work, but because of traffic, it takes an hour. Or we expect a friend to honor a commitment, and instead they abruptly change plans and inconveniences. And that's dukkha. That's stressful. If we focus on that disruption in the flow of our expectations, that divergence from what we think is going to happen or should happen, we end up feeling impatient or let down or abandoned. In the meantime, we're fuming at a traffic jam instead of seeing that wildflowers are blooming by the roadside or noticing that a favorite song is playing on the radio. Or we're feeling let down by the human race instead of realizing that we're supported by other people so often and in ways that we don't even notice, much less expect. Well, that's all for today. Thank you again for joining us for Live Dharma Sunday. I hope that as the day goes on, you'll take a moment now and then to notice that this is a good day. May the infinite light of wisdom and compassion so shine within us that the errors and vanities of self may be dispelled. And may we realize the enlightened way together.